There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two on a Monday. It's Midday Mobile, of course, online at fmtalk1065.com. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and podcasts. Like somebody was asking for the podcast of the last hour, like you'll be asking for this hour. It's part of 54 hours a week of live local programming waiting for you through our website, or you can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, any of those places have got our podcast. Good to see back in studio, Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
It's National Crime Victims Rights Awareness Week. Is that?
That's pretty good. It's National Crime Victims Rights Week.
Rights Week.
We celebrate that nationally, and we here in Mobile celebrate it locally as well.
Obviously, this is something that I think in our conversations over the years is big. Not just the prosecution that you and your team does, but also you're always been on this show and everywhere else an advocate for the victims of crime.
Absolutely, because that's why we exist at the DA's office, is to represent victims and make sure that the victim's voice is being heard in the justice system.
But I mean, I'm going to kind of expand on this. People might not know, because beyond just doing your job as a prosecutor and putting the defendant finding a guilty, making a case that gets a guilty verdict and putting that person in jail, your outreach, I don't know, to the victims, I've watched this over the years. That's obviously, it's a personal thing beyond just the work in a courtroom.
You know, the relationships that we form with victims when their cases come to the district attorney's office is unbelievable, and it's a lifelong relationship. I have victims of cases that I represented 25 years ago. I've been doing this 25 years that I still know and still personally keep in touch with, because we formed such a bond when they were, thruxed into the justice system, never knew they were going to be a crime victim, and then all of a sudden they're in the justice system and mm-hmm. they've had to, you know, be assigned a prosecutor to help with their case and to prosecute their case and to put the bad guy who committed the crime against them away. And those relationships are just lifelong relationships that we form.
When you get somebody who's coming into the system like that, it's not just, you know, one person, it's their family.
That, absolutely.
You know, and so it's not just an individual. It's I'm sure it's multiples of people affected every time a crime like this happens.
Not only that, you know, that certainly in a murder case, the victim's family is, you know, it touches all aspects of the victim's family. But just in a simple breaking and entering, which I know you've had your own share of that, it's a community and a neighborhood that's affected. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes into the sanctity of your neighborhood and starts breaking into your cars, they're not doing it just to one individual. They're doing it to, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 victims, and they're terrorizing the whole neighborhood. And so not only do we see the individual victim, but we have, you know, community areas that are victims of in these, especially in high crime areas. And so, you know, we just want to make sure that we're helping the individual victim themselves, or if they're deceased, their families, but certainly the victims themselves and the community and in the neighborhoods that this crime is occurring in.
Let's talk about the event going on this week here, but it's a national event.
It's a national week,
okay.
And then individual jurisdictions just decide if during that week they would commemorate National Crime Victims Rights Week with a vigil. And we have done that traditionally at least 30 years here at the DA's office. And it's so very important for victims to have an event that they can come to and memorialize their loved one if they're a victim of a homicide or victims of robbery, just to come and be with other people who have find themselves themselves in the justice system and find themselves going through the court process. It's just a tremendous asset when you have other people that are having the same set of circumstances or issues like
speak
you.
Speak the same language as
absolutely.
Each other.
You can pat each other on the back and know that you're going through the same thing at the same time and that you have other people in this community that are rallying around you and trying to help you through the process of being in the justice system.
There's a lot of people in that justice system. I'm looking at stats here. How many people victim of violent crimes? It was, I think, over a million, 1.2 million people were victim of violent crime, excluding simple assault, in 2019.
Absolutely. And here locally.
1.2 million?
Mm-hmm. Here locally, thousands of individuals were victim of crime just in the last year. Tens of thousands, actually.
Yeah, that's it. I want to get into that, too, because that those suspects and the backlog of defendants here get into that. But what happens this week here? You talk about the vigil. When is that? When do people
The vigil is this Thursday, April 22nd at Cooper Riverside Park from 6:30 to 7:30. And not only are we doing the vigil where loved ones can come and memorialize their loved one who's been a victim of a crime, but we're doing a resource fair for victims of crime. So you're a victim of a break-in, entering, or a robbery of, or a burglary of your home. Then you can come, and we have lots of community organizations who have partnered with us to set up booths to provide services to crime victims, whether it's the victim needs counseling or, you know, we have issues with substance abuse that are ongoing with different cases. And all of the resources, Penelope House will be there, Drug Education Council, Lifeline's Family Counseling Center, all of these nonprofit agencies will be there to be able to explain to victims the resources that they have available to crime victims.
Yeah, you get a, we get the groups you've named, people have all been on this radio station and mm-hmm. talked about them, and you know, you talk about them, but there may still be people out there that don't know. They
right.
don't know that anything's available to them.
Well, you know, Sean, when you become a victim of a crime, that crime has changed your life forever in an instant. Mm-hmm. I know that some people say that sounds so dramatic, Ashley, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a victim of a crime, your life is forever changed in some way because you've had a criminal defendant who's committed a crime against you personally, or your house or your car. And so a lot of people need counseling, and Lifeline's Family Counseling Center is a wonderful place where we can offer counseling services to victims of crime to help them get through the initial shock of being a crime victim, but then also through everything that they're dealing with when going through the justice system. You know, the fact that it's going to take 3 years now because of COVID to prosecute their crime versus, you know, whereas before COVID it took 18 months. You know, a lot of people have a really hard time with that, you know, they're going to be experiencing the justice system for a long period of time. And so we offer counseling services, residential services, drug counseling and drug abuse issues. We offer those services as well. All these are available at the vigil.
You just rolled out 3 years. Before people might see justice, right? See that court date. You've been keeping us up to date through this, through the months. Where do y'all sit for number of cases in backlog, and what is the situation right now with the prosecution?
We have over 5,000 felonies that are currently pending right now that need a trial date, and they need the defendant gets, of course, their day in court, but the crime victim, you know, is trying to get their case concluded through a trial, through a jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And we have thousands and thousands and thousands of cases that are just sitting there waiting for a trial date.
These not misdemeanor, you said felony.
Felony is a year or more in jail, but most of these are serious felony offenses where the punishment could be up to 99 years or life.
Those people, you're saying right now, it looks like 3 years before
tonight, if your car's broken into and our office contacts you within the first 7 days and lets you know that we're there and available to help you go through the justice system, we're having to counsel our victims of crime that it's going to be at least 2 to 3 years before their case will be heard before a jury.
The other side of that has been, and it's interesting, and your office has done such great work. Yeah, personal experience with y'all as well. But in the past, people would plead guilty.
Right.
Right? They'll plead guilty, they take whatever it is. That's not happening so much either, is it?
It's not happening right now because we only have two judges that are on a criminal trial week that are able to get a jury per week. So we only can try two felony cases a week right now.
So what was the backlog again? How many thousands?
Over 5,000.
And you can try two a week?
Two a week right now. And we are encouraging the judges to allow us to try more than two a week, and some have allowed us to try a second trial on a Wednesday, one on Monday and one on Wednesday. But right now, the maximum we can try on a week is two, and there are only two judges that are on a criminal docket, a criminal trial docket right now, and they're only certain weeks. And then at the in May, the summer break will be coming, that's set by the judges, and then we won't go back to jury trials until the fall. I'm begging that in the fall we go back to the regular trial schedule that we had before COVID. So that all of our judges are on, and that we are able to try multiple trials in a week, and we'll have multiple settings on every day of the week.
Okay, everything has been in flux through COVID, so why not, if the situation's better, we look at the what the state's done with not having the mask mandate, all these things. I know there's the summer break, but sometimes, I mean, if you have a situation like this, you don't do summer break. Am I talking out of my ear? No, absolutely.
We would love to continue.
Say
to
this year we're not doing summer break
every single week, but that's not up to us. The presiding judge sets that schedule.
I mean, I guess in a normal year you're getting things done. But it hadn't been, and there's this backlog. I mean, if we're looking at it somewhere else, and I got a backlog of commercials we need produced around here at FM Talk, you know, and we normally take a break for whatever day this is. Well, we can't do it this year. We got to work.
You're absolutely right, Sean, but unfortunately the district attorney's office, doesn't set the schedule. The presiding judge
That's who would make the decision not to have the summer break.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, we're going to go to the break. I want to come back and talk about this, too, because I know as my discussion with you, people are thinking right now, well, we got this backlog, and it's every day, it seems like, at least weekly, we're hearing very serious cases. Homicides, attempted homicides, gunplay going on. What is so?
3-year-olds getting grazed by bullets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Babies being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me right now, even with an arrest and somebody going to the system, that person is far out as 3 years from seeing that family that's affected, as far as 3 years away from seeing a day in court.
That's correct.
3 years. Once again, I want to say this is
not
going to
a
news.
Day in court. They're going to have multiple days in court, but the trial. First.
Yes, the trial. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the trial. But let's, once again, the backlog is what right now?
Thousands. Over 5,000 cases.
Felony cases. All right. Coming right back. More with Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Our guest in studio, Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich. It is National Victims. Okay, there we go. Okay. And the vigil is going to be on Thursday.
Thursday, Cooper Riverside Park from 6:30 to 7:30.
All right, so be able to go down there, encouraging anybody who fits
is
that description.
Anybody who's a victim of a crime can attend the vigil, and be available to look at all of the booths that are available for the resources that are there for crime victims.
And maybe this is one of those occasions too. If you know somebody who fits that definition, it's worth letting them know about it. If you know you're listening, but you can let them know that's going on Thursday. We talk about the what's going, and I know it's We're up from last year. We have had years in the past where there have been, gun violence and homicides at this level, but it's up from last year. It seems to me, and it seems to a lot of citizens here in Mobile, it is a every couple days story of somebody being shot, mm-hmm. and multiple somebody's being shot in our city.
Mm-hmm. And, Sean, what's so important is, everybody's saying, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do?
Correct.
But from the district attorney's perspective, one thing that I have been arguing, and your listeners have heard me say every time I've come on the show, is if you're out on bond, okay, and you commit a new offense, you should not be given a second bond, period. You should sit in jail until your case comes to trial, regardless if it's 2 years or 3 years from now. If you're out on bond, and if you're the criminal, you get out on bond. Bond is a privilege. Okay, not a right. It's a privilege. If you are allowed to post bond, if a judge gives you a bond on your original offense and you're out on bond and you commit a new crime or offense, then it should be automatic that you're going to sit in jail until your trial. What's happened is they get another bond right now, mm-hmm. and it sends a message to all the criminals, hey, it doesn't matter if I go right back out and go back to the same neighborhood and break into the same cars, I'm going to get a bond again. So, hey, I'm just going to continue my criminal activity because the chances of me being locked up are slim to none. So let me just keep going with my breaking and entering, keep breaking and entering cars, okay? So we've got to send a message that if you're out on bond, you commit a new offense, you're in jail. Sam has never turned away a prisoner that we have asked him to house. Sam Cochran, our sheriff, excuse me, I should address him in a more professional manner. But he's never turned anybody away. And that's the purpose of why we got together and we have now passed Anaya's law through the legislature. But the citizens are going to have to vote. That's a constitutional amendment to allow for the provision that judges can hold defendants in jail with no bond.
And it's
on
can.
Cases other than capital murder cases.
Right. So it's can, because I remember my conversations with Chip Brown, with Representative, he said it doesn't make the judge, but it
gives him the option
to do this.
Right now, I argue all the time that if the defendant's a flight risk or a danger to the community, they can do it right now. But what typically happens is judges say, well, you know, we understand they might be a danger to the community, but they're entitled to a bond. And this law would stop that argument.
It gives them that option. Mm-hmm. It gives the judge the option to say, if I'm putting in Sullivanese here,
sure.
but that there's a chance with this person's already shown that they're going to go out and commit another crime.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of these cases have been shooting
and
people
and so,
in the story of the murder of Anaya, you know,
right.
I mean, these are things you can show how
right.
this is.
So not, it's not just the DA saying this person is a danger to the community. Don't let them out, judge. Now Anaya's law is solidification that the judge can hold them and hold them with no bond, okay? We've always argued the judge can do that now, but the judges don't agree. They think they have to give the criminal defendant a bond because there's nothing written in the code book or the law book that says they can hold somebody with no bond other than a capital murder.
So if we vote for this on this amendment, the CA, it would then change Alabama statute to where the judge can
hold a criminal defendant in jail.
It puts it in the law where they can say,
other than a capital murder defendant. So a robber, somebody who commits breaking and entering, they can be held in jail until their trial. Okay? So this is a good thing. And we need to make sure the community understands. You know, a lot of times when you go to the ballots, you don't know about what the constitutional amendments are.
Mm-hmm.
And so from now until it goes for a vote, we're going to try and start educating the community that the Anaya's Law is a fabulous amendment to the Constitution where it will give judges the what they consider the authority they need to hold criminal defendants in jail with no bond other than capital murder defendants.
I think the best example, and obviously with the law being named for, is what happened to Anaya Blanchard. I mean, you had this dirtbag who had almost done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not like it was just breaking and entering. This right. person had kidnapped, had him in the vehicle, was going to, you know, it just didn't get it finished, and then goes back out on bond, and then does what they almost did the first time.
And they right, that's exactly right. And we argued at the time, they should have never been given a bond. Okay, on the second, on the first case,
kidnapping,
they get an opportunity for one bond. But when they commit a second crime while they're out on bond, they should have been put back into custody immediately. But again, they were given a second bond. He was given a second bond.
And then was out when he
mm-hmm.
committed the murder.
Yep.
Kidnapping and murder. All right. The as a community here, because people, you said, what can we do? And this is a what we can do.
Absolutely. This
because people are always going, and you're often saying, you can only do, you know, what can we do? This is
a positive step to make sure that judges are able to hold criminal defendants that commit other crimes other than capital murder in jail with no bond. And that is huge for this community. And that's exactly what we need, because I can stand up and preach it all day long, and the police chief can stand up and preach it all day long that judges need to hold these defendants in jail with no bond. But they're not doing it. And so this would force their hand and
make it
happen.
Well, you can answer or not here, but as a citizen, then I know if that judge did issue that, but they made the choice. They had the option not to issue that
Correct.
Third, would be like the third bond.
correct. Because right now we're arguing, okay, if you're out on bond and you commit a new offense, well, that proves right there you're a danger to the community. So don't let them out again to do it a third time.
Until they get a trial.
And they are letting them back out right now, and they're letting them get a second bond and sometimes a third bond. Okay, and that is what is sending a horrible message to defendants, that they can just get right back out of jail and commit their crimes, continue on their crime sprees, basically.
Once again, Thursday, the vigil, Cooper Riverside Park.
Yes, and we welcome all members of the community to attend. And we're trying to get the community to show these crime victims that the community is behind them and rallying behind them.
And we are. And great work, you and the staff down there doing what y'all are doing. And we'll get updates here in another month or so. Get
this
number started. As always, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich in the studio. Coming back, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us right here on Midday Mobile.